You know, I guess that's one thing about going down into South America and preaching. Have a crusade down into South America or somewhere down in Central America. It's kind of like playing ball with them. You hit a home run and they start clapping and hollering, you know. You do something for God, and to them, that really gets a hold of their heart. But it's wonderful to make a fuss over the Lord Jesus. Love Him, because someday we need His favor now. We need His love now. We need His kindness now. But someday, when we all stand before Him in the great day, there at the great white throne of judgment, my, what a time that's going to be. Brother Pike's going to be there. You're going to be there. Brother Osborne, Brother Roberts, Brother Swaggard, Brother Branham, Brother Cole, many of the men that's already gone off of the field, great, mighty men, Paul, Abraham, all of us are going to be there. Mary, the mother of Jesus, will be there. You know, going over into the Holy Land a lot of times, seeing the tombs of Rachel and different ones that's buried over there, Abraham, it's really something. I remember going over into the Holy Land and I saw these things for the first time. It was such a thrill, and I thought, oh my God, this is where those bodies are laying. Like Brother Branham up here, the cemetery's laying there. You know, the body's laying there. One day it'll get up out of the grave. And that won't be long. They're just waiting until we conquer death. Death is the last enemy to be conquered. And they're just waiting until we conquer death. And as soon as we conquer death, then they'll get up. Not that we have to conquer death as to bring them out of the grave, for Jesus has already done that, but in that we have to comprehend what has been done. And when the living do that, then the dead come forth. But over in the Holy Land, I thought, you know, this is great, this is wonderful. And then I heard a voice speak to me about the place over here in America and the people over here in America and they that love God. I heard the Lord speak to me like this. Those people are alive. These people are dead. Those people are alive. You know, David said you can't praise God when you're dead. So then those people are dead. But you people are alive. It's great to go to the tomb of Abraham. But it's a lot greater to see a son of God here that's living and walking and talking and praising God. Isn't that wonderful? I know they're not dead to the extent that he that loveth the Lord, he never dies. He's already passed from death unto life. We love the brethren. That's the proof of it. And Abraham, he's asleep. They're asleep. You know, so often I come up here to the sacred desk or wherever I'm at, preach to the people. And it bothers me a lot because I think, Lord, I don't have time to preach to the people. There's no way. You know, Paul preached all night long trying to preach a sermon to the people. I thought there's no way to preach to the people. You know, we have a little get-together, and we say a few things, and we get excited, and we talk about the Word of God, and we drop in a few little things for you to feed off of. But so far as really ministering to the people and telling them about the glory of God and the revelation of Jesus Christ and bringing forth the great hidden mysteries of God, you just don't have time to do that. You just kind of rush through, say a few things and try to hold the attention of the people, you know, or keep them interested in what you're saying. But it would be so wonderful if the church would come into a place to where they could really be taught of God, be led of God as the early church, and get into the wonderful mind of God, how wonderful it would be. So, I just say that I'm glad to be here tonight. I enjoyed the service this morning. I'm certainly glad to be here tonight. And meeting has kind of been a quick thing, but we're here. We don't have long to be here. We still have to leave here tomorrow and go into Alaska on a Thursday, and we've got two or three meetings there with the Full Gospel Businessmen and some other meeting. So we don't really have time to be here or anywhere very long. We're always busy doing something around the home front or trying to have a tent meeting or some kind of crusade somewhere. And we're always pressed in the Spirit. As a matter of fact, I'm really pressed concerning overseas work. I stay pressed in the Spirit about overseas work, places like India and Africa, places where they plead with us to come, and a lot of times they'll write a letter and they'll say, Brother Pike, don't be like Jonah. You know, and they want us to come, and I want to go, but I can't seem to go until I get a release from God to go. I know, as I said this morning, the Bible said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. I can do that. But to be led of the Spirit of God and to go there at the right time, to do the things the right way, to be able to follow the leadership of the Spirit, this is important in my life. It's important to me to follow the leadership of the Spirit of Almighty God. That is very important to me, to know that I'm where He wants me to be and I'm doing what He would have me to do, and it's real important to me. So we're here tonight. Sometimes I might say strange things that you don't understand. Maybe you do understand. But sometimes maybe we say strange things that you don't understand. But don't get upset. Don't say, oh, that's false. I don't believe it. Don't do that. See, when a person says something you don't understand, just catalog it. Just leave it there until you can prove it to be either good or bad. You don't want to change over and try to believe it if you can't understand it. If you can't believe it, don't try to make yourself believe it. Because if you did, then you'd leave your steadfastness and your conviction as to sincerity, and then you'd have faith shipwreck. And you don't want to make faith shipwreck. Just catalog it and wait, and if it's right, it'll work its way down into the heart, or you'll get a hold of it, and then when you get a hold of it, then everything will be all right. And then you can walk in it, and then you can enjoy it. You can have it for a treasure, heavenly treasure, in earthen vessels. I appreciate you being here. Every one of you, I appreciate you being here. I appreciate those that came out this morning. And if we stayed around, we probably could have a revival. We have had some meetings here. And I would enjoy it. But I'm here for one purpose. And that purpose is to preach the kingdom of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom has been preached. They preach the kingdom of God. They preach that the kingdom of God is at hand. Not far off, not going to come. We're not going to work our way around to it. It is already at hand. And men are pressing their way into the kingdom. As the kingdom of God is preached, then men and women are pressing their way into the kingdom of God, and they're being translated into the marvelous kingdom of God right now. Not day after tomorrow, not in a day to come, but right now, as they believe, they are being translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. And of course, tonight we could say a whole lot of things about that. It'd take us a lot of time here to say something about that, but we don't have time to talk to you, but just for a little bit. So we have to do the very best that we can. I want to find a scripture here. I want to read just a little bit. Reading over in the book of Galatians, if you've got your Bible, you can read with me. It starts off in the third chapter by saying, O foolish Galatians. That's kind of a strong text, isn't it? You know, Paul, he's preaching here, and him and Peter's having a dispute. And Paul, he's a little bit disturbed because Peter has kind of turned the people away from the faith, not meaning to, but just getting caught in something there. And a lot of the Jews has turned away, and Barnabas, he's turned away, and Paul, he's upset. So he just comes right out and he says, Why, you foolish people. So he said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham? And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not as to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by an angel in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith, which should after would be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, Paul speaks here of a justification by faith and how that we are to minister the words of this faith. And he goes on to tell us in the word, until we all come into the unity of the faith, into the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus, until we all come into the unity of the faith. The ministry is set here for the perfecting of the saints, and we all are striving to come into the unity of the faith. Now, I said today that we are not, when we speak of the faith, we're not talking about faith, plural. Neither are we talking about seeds, plural. Well, the promise was made unto one, even Abraham, as unto his seed, which is Isaac, or we would say Christ, whom Isaac was a type of. So then, the promise is not unto many. It's not unto people that are scattered throughout the world in denominationalism and religious activities and people that are in religious cults. That is not what it is. It is unto one, and that is the seed of God Almighty, which is Christ, which is the bodily members, which is the members of the body. You know, I've said this a time or two, and a lot of times it might strike you as being kind of comical or unreasonable, but I say it as a truth. You know, you can go back into the genealogies, you can go back into the Old Testament, and you can see a lot of things there. So the types and shadows, you can look beyond the veil. Today, Paul said the veil that is over the eyes of the people as pertaining to the law is still over the eyes of the people today. It is still over the eyes of the people. It is not taken away except in Christ. For in the reading of the Old Testament, there is a veil over the hearts or minds of the people, which veil is not penetrated unless you go by the way of the rent veil at Calvary, and then the dark veil of death is taken away, and then you are in the world of light. How do you understand what I'm saying? So going back there, we see many things. I made this statement. You know, in the days of Noah, God speaks of the people that were saved in the days of Noah. Out of the great multitudes, out of all the people, eight people, and they found their way See, the people found their way because of Noah. God loved Noah. And the Bible said Noah found grace in the eyes of God. It didn't say the others found grace in the eyes of God. It said Noah. See, seeds as of one, Noah. And because it was Noah's family, then they were saved. So we look at that, and there were eight people saved. And then we come on down a little farther, and we see another great thing taking place. The act of God, the flood, people are completely moved from the earth. And then we see Sodom and Gomorrah. And here in Sodom and Gomorrah, there's hundreds or maybe thousands of people. All of a sudden, God makes a move. And out of the move of God comes four people. Only four people. They come out. Out of that, only four people come out of there. You know, it's really something when you think about it, because we had eight to start with, and now God has narrowed it down and there's only four. And then we come on down a little bit farther, and we get down to the crossing where they're getting ready to go into Canaan. And the thousands upon thousands of people have been led out. And then God begins to narrow it down to that seed again. See, and here we find Joshua. We find Joshua, as it was with Moses, leading the people and God giving him favor. Now we find Joshua. And here is Caleb. And we say, oh my, here's only two people. We had eight people, and then we come to four people, and now we've come to two people. We look on over toward Calvary, and we see a great thing happening again. And we say, God, how many people? This time we had eight people. Now we've come to four people. Now we've come to two people. How many people are you going to accept this time? And we find only one person. Not the seeds as of many, but seeds as of one. Even to thy seed, Abraham, which is Christ. And so we find it narrowed down that God would not give his favor and his glory to anyone but Jesus. And Jesus found favor in the sight of the Heavenly Father. And Jesus alone escaped when God poured out his wrath upon all of the world, making Jesus sin that he might give grace to all humanity for a period of time through the one seed, and especially to the seed of God as to Christ, his bodily members, that was to follow into this wonderful salvation that was wrought by the act of God through Jesus Christ. So then we see seeds as of one. Seeds, just or seed as of one. Just Christ, the seed. So I made the statement this morning. I don't have any inheritance. You don't have any inheritance. No one has an inheritance but Jesus. Christ alone dwells in that light of immortality, under which no man can approach God, the great light, the great spirit, whom no man has seen, not at any time, nor can see, because he's the great spirit. So Christ Jesus dwells in that light being an understanding. Not as light as we see, but as a great light of understanding. Jesus is in the midst of this great, wonderful understanding. And the Bible speaks of the light of the knowledge of God being revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. And so then we see this great, wonderful light and Jesus dwelling in the midst of it. And then I say, but God, where am I? If Jesus is dwelling in the midst of it and nobody else can get in the midst of it, then where am I? Who am I, Lord? And then I hear the Lord answer me back. You're a bone of his bone and you're a flesh of his flesh. You're members in particular of the God body. And because Jesus dwells in that light, that means that is you dwelling in that light. So then today, as to the seed, Jesus Christ, as to one seed and not seeds as of many, to one faith, one God, one baptism, in the name of Christ Jesus, so then here in this auditorium tonight, we are together. Or to those that hear the voice that's speaking to you now, as to speaking to you concerning the ministry, here we are as seeds of one, not as of many, but one body. One body. Paul said members in particular. You may not have, as to this member over here, the gift of miracles. You may have the gift of discernment. You may not have the gift of discernment. You may have the gift of wisdom. You may not have that. You may have the gift of prophecy. But see, we are members one of another, and all of us belong to the same wonderful body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful?
You say, what does that mean, Brother Pike? It means that there is but one God, and that one God has many members to his body. And that one God rules heaven and earth and all of the universe and will continue to rule and will continue to reign throughout eternity. One God, many members. Jesus alone being the head of that God body and the Heavenly Father being the Holy Spirit. So that means that he is the life of this vine. And Jesus is that vine. And you and I are the branches of that vine. And as long as we abide within the vine, then we're going to bring forth fruit. And it's God's pleasure for us to bring forth much fruit. And he said, and this is the fruit that I want you to bring forth, that whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. He said, and this is your fruit, that whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. I want you to ask many things. And I want to do many things for you. I want you to have this kind of fruit. I want you to go out and evangelize the world. Go out and tell people about God. Go all over the world and tell them about these wonderful things about God. Tell them about the salvation. Bring joy. Bring peace. Bring happiness. For the Bible said, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy that tells you that you've got a Savior. So then we see this wonderful thing taking place. We are all coming to the unity of the faith. Let me remind you again now. When we say faith, there is but one faith, and that faith is by the hearing of the Word of God. It doesn't matter what you believe. You can believe anything you want to. You can be Baptist, you can be Methodist, you can be Church of God, you can be Assembly, you can be Pentecostal, you can be Catholic, you can be Church of Christ, be any kind of believing that you want to be. You can be with anything that you want to be with, but folks, when it comes to salvation, when it comes to finding God, when it comes to doing the things that please God, or when it comes to getting into heaven, you're just going to have one way in, and that's by faith that cometh by the hearing of the Word of God, by faith in Christ Jesus, which is the Word of God. There is no other door, there is no other name given unto heaven whereby man must be saved except the name of Jesus Christ, and there is remission of sin in none other name. It is only in the name of Jesus Christ. There is no remission of sin without the shedding of the blood. It takes the shedding of the blood so as to have remission of sin. And after that blood is shed for us, that is to say at Calvary, then we find ourselves being buried in a watery grave so that we are dead to sin, we're dead to the world, and we're buried in this grave for the remission of sin. And they baptized them for the remission of sin because Jesus had died for sin and remission was in his name, and we had to be numbered with him or buried with him in baptism that we might be resurrected in the newness of life, and that we could be in the kingdom of God. See, I don't preach that a great thing is going to take place. I don't preach that a great thing is coming. A lot of people, their lives is like this. There's a great thing coming someday, Brother Pike, and we're looking forward to this great, wonderful event that's going to happen, or something is coming on the scene. It's going to be a great, wonderful thing, and it's going to shake everybody up. I don't preach that because I don't believe that. I'm not looking for that. That isn't coming. Those that are looking for that are going to be disappointed. I'm not preaching that a great thing is coming. I'm telling you that a great thing has already happened. I'm telling you that something has happened that is so great and so phenomenal that there is no human way that the natural mind can comprehend or tell what has taken place. That's what I'm telling you. See, I'm telling you that something happened at Calvary that is so great and so mighty that John called it the revelation of Jesus Christ. He, just a few short years after Calvary, right after Jesus was crucified, just a few short years, they exiled John to a little isle called Patmos, a little rocky island off the coast of Asia Minor. And there John had something revealed to him, and the thing that God revealed to him was that there was a great expose at Calvary when the veil was rent in twain, that something phenomenal took place, that the world had not seen it, that the people had not been able to get a hold of it. But he said, John, here it is. Here is the expose. Here is the revelation of the benefits of Christ. And today, beloved friend, I preach to you that there are benefits in Christ. I preach to you that something happened at Calvary that the church has never gotten a hold of today. I'm telling you that something took place when the blood of Jesus was shed for the remission of sin. Something great and mighty took place, such as never had happened in the history of mankind or will never happen again in the history of mankind. Are you listening to me? Am I preaching something that's going to happen? Am I trying to tell you of some great thing that's going to happen? Folks, what could I tell you that's going to happen that's greater than what is already happened? What is it that I can tell you? You know, like I told somebody not too long ago. I said, am I trying to perfect you? I said, look, folks, am I trying to tell you how to be perfect so as to perfect you? Am I trying to get you away from your chewing the cud and smoking on a weed or sucking on a weed? Am I trying to get you away from worldliness and those kind of things? Of course we are. We preach the gospel. All of this pertains to the Spirit as being holy in body and spirit. But is that what we're here for? That perfection, to get you away from that? The Bible said it's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, though you should put away the filth of the flesh, but it's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. That's not what perfects you. See, it's not that, but the Bible said it is faith in God. That is, it is an answer of a good conscience toward God, having been obedient, not sacrificing something, but having been obedient, coming to the unity of the faith. Not till all of the people of the world, not till all the religious people of the religious world come together. Not that kind of thing. Not till all of the nations come together. That's not what it is. But it is when the membership of the body of the Son of God comes together. It is when the little flock that God spoke of comes together. It is when they that are true believers, they that love the Lord. Folks, let me tell you something. God could care less about this world, as we say. God doesn't care about Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible said the very day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, God burnt the place. That the very day that he went out, that fire and brimstone came down from heaven and burned the place. Because God didn't care about that. God wasn't concerned about those people that was doing those foolish things. And let me tell you something. You may think the blood of Christ is on the seat of atonement for all of the world because God is doing that for the world. But let me tell you, that isn't right, folks. Somebody said, well, God loves everybody, Brother Pike. I beg your pardon. I don't find that in the Bible. I hear that as a philosophy. I hear that out of churches. I hear that out of preachers. But in reading the Bible, I've never found that in the Bible. Never. The Bible said God is angry with the wicked every day. And said the offering of the wicked is an abomination in the sight of God. And the Bible said there's no peace to the wicked. No peace to the wicked. God doesn't love the wicked. Folks, let's use a little understanding. If I went out there and I took your darling little child and I beat its brains out. Come on, folks. If I beat its brains out, you're going to rise up and say, God bless you, Brother Pike. I love you. I'll spill my blood so that you can go beat somebody else's brains out. No, we got more sense than that, haven't we? Even a mad dog will kill him if he tries to bite a child. Isn't that right? What makes you think that God loves the wicked and that God is spilling his blood for the wicked? It is true that God so loved you and I while we were yet in our sins that God gave his blood so that we could come to Christ. I agree to that. And the Bible said it's not God's will that even the wicked should perish. They should repent of their sins. They should come to God. But folks, let me tell you, the blood is on the seat of atonement for one thing, and that's for the royal seed, not unto seeds as of many, but as seeds of one, even Christ. That's the way it is, folks. That's the way it is. And let me tell you something. If you don't believe that,
when the church goes out of here, just like Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah, watch the fire and the brimstone come down from heaven upon the wicked. And you'll find out how God feels about the wicked. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's the way God feels. And you know what? I want to see people saved, and you want to see people saved. And who could have done more than Jesus done? Nobody could have done more than that. But my beloved brother and sister, let me tell you something. We are the church of the living God. Somebody says, Brother Pike, why do you get so excited about this? How in the name of reasoning could you live in this world and know the things that I know and not get excited about it? How could you do that? If somebody came into this auditorium tonight and took either person that is sitting in those seats out there and said, look, I've got $10 million for you, there wouldn't be a one of you that wouldn't get excited if you was the person. And most of you get excited even over the other person getting it. That's like somebody was talking about different men's followings. You know, there's followings. Brother Roberts got followings. Brother Branham, different ones got followings. And they said, well, they're the brother's followings. I said, no. No, I said, some of them are Brother Branham followings. Some of them are Brother Roberts followings. I said, but some of them are the followers of the following. They just follow the following, that's all. They don't know about the man. They don't know about his ministry. They don't know about anything. They just follow the crowd. They just follow the following. There are some people in the world that just follow the following. But I don't want to be like that, do you? I don't want to be like that. I want to follow Christ. Paul said, follow me. But he said, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me. Somebody said, now look, Brother Pike, I don't believe in following man. Well, that's all right. We ain't got no differences. If you don't believe in following man, that's fine. You know, I got no differences with you. No axe to grind, as somebody said. But I believe in following man. I said, I believe in it. So you shouldn't want to grind your axe with me either. See, I believe that Christ Jesus was a man. The Bible said he was the man, Christ Jesus. And I believe in following that man. And Paul was a man, and Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I believe in following Christ in the hearts of men and Christ in the people that are trying to lead you to God. I believe in listening, beloved friend. So I believe in leadership. I believe in the preachers. I believe in the brothers. I believe in the sisters. I don't look at a woman and say, well, that's just a woman. I'm a man. I don't look at it like that. Paul said in Christ there is no such thing as a Jew. There is no such thing as a Gentile. There is no such thing as bond. There is no such thing as free. There is no such thing as a male. There is no such thing as a female. You're one in Christ. Christ died for you. Every woman that's in this place has a perfect equality with the husband in God. In this world you don't, because when Eve sinned, said you'll serve your husband and you'll be under the leadership of your husband. But beloved friend, when you came into Christ, you're not under anybody's leadership except God's. And if the husband loves you, then you honor your husband, obey your husband. I'm speaking to the women now. But let me tell you something, and you get this straight right now. When it comes to God, when it comes to the things of God, you forget about your husband. Forget about everybody else. And serve God. If your husband crosses you, you go like just like you never did even hear him. Somebody say hallelujah. And the same way with the husband toward the wife. See, Jesus first. Abraham offered his son up. Offered his son up, Isaac, you know, on the altars. So, what a wonderful thing. I say again then, we have a wonderful thing. It's already happening. It's already here. We're not looking for it. It's already here. See, I can't make you no better. I don't have the ability to make you better. If the blood of Jesus Christ didn't cleanse you and didn't make you holy, beloved friend, I'll never be able to help you. I'll never be able to do it. I don't have it. If what God done didn't make you perfect, it's for sure no man's going to add anything there to. It took his blood. He did it. I'm just offering to you. the understanding. You say, well, what are you doing trying to perfect me? Why does the Bible say that the fivefold ministry set there for the perfecting of the saints, Brother Pike? Because the Bible said we wish this even the perfecting of your faith. I'm trying to make you perfect in faith. I'm trying to tell you what the Bible says. I'm trying to bring you the understanding of God's Word and the benefits of Calvary so that you can know and so that you can believe and so that you can be perfect in that believing. I'm trying to tell you what God's already done for you. What can any man do more than Christ has done? What could I do more than Christ has done? Folks, I'm just here to tell you about it. That's all. To let you know that you're already what you are in Christ. If I was going to plant an orange tree, once I drop that little seed into the ground, that's the orange tree. I can't do no more for it. Are you listening? I might work around it. I might dig around it. It might wait for the sunshine. It might wait for the water. Paul said, I plant in the polished water. I might get you in and somebody else might baptize you. See, but the Bible said God giveth the increase. Isn't that right? It is God that brings that life. That little seed has been planted. I dug the hole. I dropped the seed in. Whereas the Bible said, if the seed of God remaineth in you, you cannot sin because you're born of God. And the Bible tells us that with the planting of the seed, that Christ in you is your hope of glory. So then the little tree comes up. It's a little tree. After a while, it gets to be a big tree. Little tiny branches. After a while, it gets to be big branches. A little bit of fruit, and then after a while, it gets to be a whole lot of fruit. All I'm doing is just working around it. I'm just watering around it. I'm just looking after it. I'm just a caretaker, that's all. That's all. So, I say this to you. What can I do? What can anybody do? I can tell you what God has done for you. I can reveal to your mind the wonderful benefits of Calvary. I can bring you the revelation of Jesus Christ that John saw on the island. I can reveal to you, which is the revelation of the potentialities of godliness. I can reveal to you the wonderful treasures that's been hid in Calvary. I can tell you what God did for you before you was ever born into this world. A man said, and he called me to be a prophet before I was ever born into the world. Before I was ever formed in the womb, he called me to be a prophet. So then before you was ever formed in the womb, God wrote your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, gave you these things in the preordination of God, and today, who are you? What is this, Brother Pike? Well, what it is, we're telling you about something that's taking place. All down through the years, what have the preachers been doing? They've been telling you something that would help you. Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, what they've done, they've made me holy. They preach these things to me and they've made me holy. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If it's working like that, then there's something that's in reverse. There's something I don't understand. There's something that I can't find. Because the church of yesteryears, we say, was a whole lot holier than the church of today. If it's based on that, the preachers must be in reverse. Something's going wrong. They must have got a hold of something. And the Bible said the parents of each sour grapes and the children's teeth are on edges. So there's something wrong if that's the answer to it. They're losing out. They're not gaining momentum. They're not getting across their purpose. If that's what it is. Because it looks like we've got the most wretched people in the world that's ever been. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike? Well, let's go back to the Bible. He that God sendeth will speak God's word. The last church is called a Laodicean church, which means a lukewarm church. At the time of the coming of the Lord, it's in worse shape than it ever was. You understand what I'm talking about when we talk about the church world? It's in worse shape than it had been all down through there. Even in the Philadelphian age, it was a church of brotherly love. We get down to the Laodicean. It's a church where the Bible said, and they say that we're rich and have need of nothing. Look at our cathedrals. We're taking in $100 million a year. The Bible said they're wretched and they're blind and they're miserable because in their spirit they want Christ. And like Solomon said, having all of this is all of its vanity and vexation of my spirit. Vanity, vanity, saith the preacher. So, you say, then what, preacher? I'm saying this, something has taken place, and the preachers have varied away from it. Some of them have just gone beside themselves. See, what we're supposed to do is perfect your faith. We're supposed to be telling you about the Lord Jesus Christ and redemption in His name. And did you know some of the preachers of today, some of the religious activities of today, have gotten so far away from the truth that they don't even preach the name Jesus anymore. Just anything. It doesn't matter. Anything. They just preach any old thing. They don't even preach the name Jesus anymore. But the Bible says here that down in Samaria and the different places, when the preachers was preaching, it said that they preached the name of Jesus and the kingdom of God. And that's what we need. The kingdom of God is at hand. You need to be in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God needs to be in you. And the only way to get into that kingdom is to preach the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, that you be baptized in His name, and as many have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's what Paul is saying. Oh, I know somebody says, well, Brother Pike, Paul, he didn't mess with baptism. I don't know whether you ever got that. Paul, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, God Almighty, said, Paul, go down to the street called Straight. That man knows what to tell you. Down at Cornelius's, Peter said, seeing that there's water, Jesus said to be born to the water and to the Spirit, to be baptized in the name of Christ Jesus. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, several thousand people. And he said, every one of you now, not the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Church of God, or whatever, but every one of you, he said, that's listening to me, you repent of your sins, and you get out there and be baptized in the name of Jesus. For the remission of sin, buried with Him in death. Get out there, every one of you. You know, I've said this a lot of times, a lot of dignitaries, I feel sorry for them. Someday they're going to stand before God, the professional men, the doctors, the lawyers, some of these educated folks that feel that they're so important, these rich billionaires and whatever, celebrities, so important they can't take time to go down and dip in some water. You remember the days of the prophet? That man come over and had leprosy. He said, you need to go take a bath. He said, that's what's wrong with you. That is, you need to go dip in some water. And the Bible said the leprosy left. But you know, he had a contest with the prophet. He didn't want to do that. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Like they say around Jordan over there now, they've got something going on around Jordan there now, along the Jordan River. There's some enemies giving them problems. See? And they put a little password, and they make them say this little password. And the little password either means water or no water. That's what's wrong with some of the people. They don't have no water. See, Paul said, I plant, Apollos watereth. God gives the increase. You don't raise a crop without water. So when they come to this valley of Jordan, they'll make them say a certain word. And if it's the enemy, they can't say it. And they say it wrong. And when they say it, it means no water. And they know that that's the enemy. So they take them and kill them. You understand what I'm saying? Or they put them in prison. That's where the problem is we try to change God's word. Look at all the celebrities. You mean to tell me in the day of judgment, we as a people are going to stand before God and say, well, Lord, we didn't consider this very important because it's just a matter of a river. It's just a matter of water. Are you listening, folks? Talking about salvation, real genuine salvation. We didn't consider this very important. God Almighty, He's sitting there on the throne and He says, He looks back and supposing He said, you didn't? Oh no, we're a professional man. And then God says, well, I'm God Almighty. I made heaven and earth and all and nobody else there, just me. I made it by myself. But did you know that I went down to the River Jordan and got baptized because I thought it was important? And in that you're speaking of water, you're not just speaking of water, but you're speaking of my word, and it's by faith in my word that you're saved. Didn't I tell you when I gave Peter the keys to the kingdom to repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, that you might receive the Holy Spirit? Being buried with Him in death, you could be resurrected with Him in life. Come on, folks. Like a Catholic priest that come to me not too long ago. This Catholic priest, a well-learned man, studied over in Italy, studied up in New York, had been a Catholic priest for many years. And he came by and I talked with him. And I said, let me ask you something. We were sitting there in the living room. I said, don't you believe in the Catholic Church? I went down the line as to Peter being the first pope? Oh, yes, indeed, I do. I said, do you really believe he was? He said, oh, yes, I do. I said, isn't that what the Catholic Church is based on? You know, the Catholic Church has got more sense than some of the people that listen to the gospel. At least some of them believe that Peter was in charge. And so then, I said, don't you believe that? He said, sure I believe that. So we went around and around for a few minutes, you know. He withstood me. I said, okay, explain one thing to me. I said, why did the Catholic Church go so contrary to their Pope? He said, what do you mean? I said, the Pope said, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Oh, it shook him up. It shocked him. I said, isn't that what the Bible says? He said, yes. I said, well, why is the Catholic Church so contrary? He sat there stunned. He just stunned. And finally he said, take me down to the river and baptize me in the name of Jesus Christ. Said the whole church is wrong. And the next thing that I know, he was over in Canada somewhere and up in another place somewhere, and he was having disputes with Catholic priests and different ones because he come to something, folks. If that is true, then tell me something. Why don't we all do what he said do? It isn't a matter of water, it's a matter of the Word of God. By the blood, the shedding of the blood, my sins are gone. I said this morning, the songwriter said, and my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn, and they're in the sea of God's forgetfulness, and that's good enough for me, praise God. My sins are gone. Why shouldn't that body be buried in the water? Now listen to me. Why shouldn't that body be buried in the water? I'm going to say this and maybe you don't understand it. The Bible says every sin is without the body. Are you listening to me now? Every sin is without the body. There is not one sin that you sin that's with the body. It's all without the body. Even the sin of fornication, when you sin against the body. So all sins are without the body. Why is all sins without the body? Because I'm dead with the body of the Lord Jesus. My body is dead. My body is gone. All sin is without the body. See, my sins are no more, though no good thing dwells within my body. And it's called the body of corruption. Yet Christ has taken my spirit out with the rent veil, taken it into the heavenly places, and he's buried my body down yonder in the water somewhere, left it over in the river. He buried it out there somewhere. And today I'm free from the body. All sin is without the body. Listen to me now. Why did God do that? Because he made the body and he made the creature, the body, subject to sin. And because God did it, he couldn't charge any sin against anybody. Because if he had, he'd have been the one that was to blame for it, because he's the one that made the creature. And God couldn't have anything like that. So he said, folks, here's the blood. The blood's covering all of your sins. All of your sins are gone. So far as the body, don't worry about it anymore. I'm to blame for it. I blame my own self. I come down here in a human body. I'll take away your sins. That's the end of it. Forget about it. But he said, folks, let me tell you something. Now, all of the sin is without the body. See, you can't sin against God with the body. But what he was saying was this, people. He was saying in the spiritual man, whatever he does it of his own sovereignty. He's not subject to nothing. And if he willfully transgressed the things of God after I've told him the things that I've told him and the way that I've talked to him after I've done this thing for him, if he then goes out, he'll be charged with sin, and the soul that sinneth shall surely die. There's a lot of things I'd like to say tonight, but I ain't going to try to say them. I'm just going to say a few more things in the way of exhortation here, and I'm going to let you go. Because there's a lot of revelation that's crowding my mind that I just love to talk about. So then, what are we saying, beloved friend? Brother, sister, that's so precious and dear in God, eternal beings, God, Solomon said, people that I can't even speak to. I'm so little, he said. To think that I'm speaking to God's eternal beings, people that's never going to die. Never, they're never going to die. And I'm talking to them. I'm addressing them. I'm trying to talk to them. I'm trying to explain something. I'm trying to make things make sense as the best I can. Who can speak as though greatest people, Solomon said. Ye are gods. Ye are eternal. Ye have everlasting life. I'm talking about the benefits of Calvary. I'm bringing to you something to your mind that I'm just putting in simple terms here. But if we had time to go into the revelation and bring it out step by step to show that there is no power of death can hold any Christian. There is not one living Christian that can sin. No, not one time can they sin. The devil harasses them and drives them and keeps them going, you know, in their mind. He oppresses the life out of them, almost keeps them going crazy. All the time Satan does this. He wants to trample down the mind of humanity through the ignorance of mankind. And they, though they be gods, yet they perish like men from the lack of knowledge as to faith to shield themselves from the evil things of Satan. See, a person that is a god, they cannot sin. Can a god sin? No. Can a son of God sin? Even our trespasses. When we pray, Father, forgive us our trespasses. The Bible said Jesus Christ was on the scene not imputing their trespasses unto them. He wouldn't even impute their trespasses unto them, let alone to charge them with sin. That's why he came, beloved friend, to make an end of sin, so that you could be free from sin. If you're not free from sin, why did he die? I'm like Paul now. Why did he die? If you're not free from sin, why did he die? The Bible said he was made my sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Is the righteousness of God in Christ still sinful? Why did he die? It seems to me like he wasted his time. If he didn't do away with my sins, and yet he became my sins, and he died for my sins, and yet I'm still in my sins, I'm still sinning. Why did God die? Why did Jesus die? Why did God die in the body of Jesus Christ? That is the taste of death. Why did he do it? Why did he do it? I don't see any reason for it. Do you? Unless I'm free from my sins. Glory to God. I'll tell you something, folks. I'm free from my sins. Now, I don't know where your sins are. I don't know what you're doing about your sins. But I'm going to tell you something. My sins are gone. Somebody said, glory to God, I repented of mine yesterday, Brother Pike. I'm worried about them tomorrow. I ain't worried about them today nor tomorrow. I ain't worried about them yesterday either. The Bible said, forgetting those things that are behind, so I done forgot about that. And when I look to the future, I don't see nothing but the brightness of the righteousness of God. I don't see any sins over there. I don't see any sins that can take away my life. I don't see any transgression of the law, in that sin is transgression of the law. I don't see anything in my way over there. Oh, somebody said, well, I do. I see the devil. Well, you need to get him out of your way. The Bible said, draw nigh to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Tell him to get behind you. Jesus said, Satan, get thee behind me. Thou art an offense unto me. That is, get back over yonder to Calvary, we will say. Over there, you've been cast out. You've been shut off. Don't come around here bothering me. So then, why should I worry about the devil? Somebody says, oh, Brother Pike, you just wait till he gets a hold of you. I've had him to try to get a hold of me. Are you listening? I said, somebody said, let me ask you this question. Have you ever had him to get a hold of you? Oh, yes, somebody says. But I've never had him to get a hold of me. Never have. The Bible said, I've kept myself and the evil one never touches me. He's tried to get a hold of me a lot of times. He's got in front of me a lot of times, you know, and done like this and tried to confuse me. But I just kind of closed my eyes. I just went away in prayer and I said, oh God, confusions of the devil, get this thing out of here now. Just like sickness, folks, you're never going to get loose from sickness until you acknowledge that sickness is of the devil. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I'll tell you, this is the chastisement of God. See, you see, how do you feel about it anyway? See, I'm free from sin. Are you free from sin? Are you free from sin? I'm free from sin. So that I'm not looking forward to sin. I'm not looking forward to the devil getting a hold of me. See, God destroyed him that hath power over death at Calvary. Do you believe that? See, God destroyed him. He's not in your world anymore. Somebody said, well, in this world I live in, he is, Brother Pike. He's everywhere I look, I find him. And I run into him. Well, why don't you get born again? Somebody said, well, what about the other place? Well, John saw him in heaven, in the second heaven. Because of grace, he's there. We don't have time to go into that tonight. But he saw him there. But the thing is, he was cast out. He was cast out. Isn't that right? Oh, how I'd love to say something here tonight. But I know I don't have time. So I'm just having a good time with you, just talking to you. Now, so then tonight, do you have power over the devil? Or does the devil have power over you? The Bible said, and greater is he that is within you, even Christ, the hope of glory, within you than he that is Lucifer that is in the world. Isn't that right? Don't you have him on the inside of you? Now, sickness is of the devil. Sickness is of the devil. Somebody says, oh no, Brother Pike, that's the chastisement of God. I know that, I know that. I know that's the chastisement of God. I know that God backs off, you know, like he did in the days of Job and said, there he is as a perfect man. You can't make him do wrong. Oh, yes, I can. Oh, no. I'll make him curse you to your face. No, there ain't nothing to that. Go on, try. He never did he? He never did. We could explain a lot of things there. Somebody said, you know, that's just like God. God, he sets up around his poor little old folks down here and says, sick him, get him. No, God, don't do that. That was a reason, folks. I wish we had time to explain it to you. God is so sweet. God is so wonderful. God is for you. God would never hurt you. God would never do anything against you. Never. He's your friend. He's the only friend you got. So then, let me say this. Sickness is of the devil. The Bible said Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Isn't that right? He was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. If that's the works of the devil, then what is the works of the devil doing around you when the Bible says that God destroyed him that hath power over death, and God destroyed the works of the devil? At Calvary, Jesus took away sin. And in doing it, he destroyed the works of the devil. Are you listening to me? And I am going to close in a few minutes. Are you listening to me? God destroyed the works of the devil. He destroyed the works of the devil. Now, Solomon said, all is vanity. If I observe lying vanities, then I forsake my own mercy. Do you follow me? If I look at these problems, the conflicts of life, all of these things that come against me financially and every other way, and don't take God's word and believe in God's word, I'm observing lying vanities because God took it all away. Then I forsake my mercy, I forsake my benefits in Calvary, I forsake these great things that God has given unto me. And folks, this could get deep and this could get lengthy. And I'll tell you, this could really stir the church because this is joy unspeakable and full of glory. So then, if I want to get free from sickness and if I want to get free from sin, I've got to confess that sickness and all of these conflicts is the works of the devil. Come on, folks. You say it's the chastisement of God. It's because you get on the other man's territory. It's because you stray. It's because you give place to the devil. And these things come upon you. It's like a serve-yourself sort of a thing in a cafeteria. It is the chastening of God. To the extent God has set these things out there, and he said, look, folks, stay out of the briars. Stay away from the thorns. Don't go into the pasture and get into the thorns that is out in the cow pasture. Stay away from them. But you just got to go out. You know why you go out there like when I was a little boy? Thought I got to go to the movies. I'm a poor little old country boy, and my daddy ain't got no money to give me. I know what I'll do. I'll go to the pasture, and I'll find the briar patch, and I'll see them great, big, beautiful berries. And I've reached in after them berries, and oh, something to hit my hand. I think, oh, my. Them little old hands of mine, I think, but I got to have that berry. I'd fight and I'd scratch my face up, my hands up, and I'd finally get me a bucket full of berries. And occasionally I'd hear something going, or something like that, and off I'd go. You know, I'd see something pop its head up. He was eating berries too, and off I'd go. See, that's where you get in trouble. You get on the devil's territory. You get in trouble when you do that. See, that's where the problem comes in. Let's rejoice. Let's walk in the light as God is in the light. Let's have love for one another and fellowship for one another. And let's do something for God. Let's talk about Jesus instead of people. Let's sing and shout instead of gossiping. Let's get together. And like the song I wrote one time, if you talk about me to the Lord. When you get down on your knees. So then, let's do something for God. Is that all right? The benefits of Calvary, folks. I'm going to stop right here. We're just getting started. The benefits of Calvary. Do you enjoy the benefits of Calvary? It can't be but one reason that you wouldn't, and that is that you observe lying vanities. And if you observe lying vanities, then you forsake your own mercy. You could never enjoy the benefits of Calvary. But oh my God, oh my God. Folks, if you could just know what Jesus has done for you, not what He's going to do for you, not what He would like to do for you, but I'm talking about what Jesus done for you. What Jesus has done for you. Brother Taylor sings a little song about that. See what Jesus has done for you. If you just knew tonight, and you could get a hold of it, and you could believe it, what a hallelujah time you would have. What a wholesome life you would have. For God has given us great, exceeding, mighty promises. All things that pertain unto life, the Bible said, God has given unto you. What is it that pertains unto life? The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. He said, I will make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. You'll be like a tree that's planted by the waters. You'll bring forth your fruit in your season. Your leaves won't wither, and whatever you do, He said, will prosper. Isn't that wonderful? God has given us all things in Christ. Oh, that's the reason Paul and the others were so happy in this. That's why we shout hallelujah. As long as you're struggling from day to day and say, oh my God, the devil's given me a hard way to go. I barely made it over today. I don't know what I'll do tomorrow. Oh God, I barely made it through. You know, you slip and you slide like on a banana peeler, and you make all kinds of blunders and all kinds of mistakes, and you're filthy as a pig sometimes. And you say, glory to God, I barely made it. Barely made it? What do you mean you barely made it? You look like a pig and smell like a pig sometimes. You didn't barely make it. You come out of the hog pen like the prodigal son over there just before you filled your belly with the husk and God turned the hose on you and washed you off and let you know you're still a human being. You still belong to Him. You love the Lord? I made it all right. The Bible said, and the Bible says, and he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And I say amen to that. And I say the only ones that's going to endure to the end is the one that He saved, the preordained of God. That's the only ones that's going to endure to the end. If you don't think that's right, just wait till you see somebody in a fight with the devil. And you'll find out that they can't make it. It takes Christ in you, beloved friend. I want you to stand with me because, as I say, a lot of things I could say here tonight. But I've had a good audience this morning, had a good audience tonight. The people have listened real well. And the major theme of my thought tonight was till we come into the unity of the faith. Trying to express the benefits of Calvary as to what you already have, and that the church should be literally on fire. Brother, sister, for God's sake, stop looking for something to come and start enjoying what God has given you. Some people are like greedy dogs. The Bible said they don't never get enough. You give them a Cadillac and they got to have a Lincoln. And then when they get the Lincoln, they got the Cadillac and the Lincoln and they feel like they needed a little car on the side. And then you give it to that, and they feel like they need a little truck. And then they get that, and then after a while, they're so loaded down, and they're so disgusted, and they're so tore up until they can't enjoy nothing. They've got so many tags to buy and so much insurance to pay. Come on, folks. And they've done got themselves into such a conglomeration of a mess, they wish they could give them all away. But it ain't too easy to give payments away when you get them, is it? So, why not enjoy what you've got? Some other fella, he'll go down the road and he's got his little old car. I've seen them go down the road with their little old car and their wife in there, and it's bunched up like a banana, you know. But they're still happy. They didn't have no payments. I talked to him. I said, ain't it a little bit crowded in there? He said, oh, that don't bother us. I said, well, why doesn't it bother you? He said, well, man, I can get so many miles to the gallon. Oh, well, I guess that's all right. You know, that's all right if that's the way you feel about it. That's okay. But anyway, I'm just trying to illustrate a little bit and make you know that you've got something, folks. If you've got God and you've got salvation, you've got something. You've got happiness. And that's what counts. That's what counts. So tonight, having had you here with us today, I want to say that I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. I'm very grateful. And if we stayed around here, we'd have a revival. And some people, I see some people coming in back there now. Some of them comes out of their church, you know, when they get out, them long-winded preachers get the second benefit because they'll come over to their place. Now, we could have a good time. I have had a good time. But I'm here not just for a meeting. I didn't come here for that, even though I've enjoyed it, and I would enjoy it. But I didn't come here for that. I come here by the leading of the Son of God, and I came here for a great purpose. And I wished I had time tonight to really express to you the purpose of this thing. I wished that I had time to do it. See, but I don't. But there's one thing about it. I love you. I appreciate you. And I know that God is real. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I know that. And God loves you. And God loves me. And folks, let's enjoy that love. Let's stop worrying about whether I'm good enough to get this or good enough to get that. I'm telling you again, you're never going to get good enough to get healed. Never. You're never going to get good enough to get to heaven. You're never going to get good enough. See, but I'll tell you what, the Bible said God purifies your heart by faith. And if you'll turn your faith over into the hands of God, He'll purify your heart. And the first news you know, the glory of God will break forth in your heart. And you'll say, oh, hallelujah, I'm feeling better all the time. And that sickness I had, you say, oh, my God, I'm feeling better. Say, Brother Pike, have you ever experienced anything like that? Brother, I sure have. Sister, I sure have. But you know what? God is my witness. I have never in my life experienced anything that I wasn't able to overcome by faith in God. Never. Never. So then tonight, let's sing a little chorus together while we enjoy this wonderful faith in God. Can we do that? I like this little song. Sometimes we sing it. I like to sing it here tonight if you'll sing it with me. It's called The Old Time Religion. Do you like the old time religion? I like the old time religion. The Bible said, ask for the old paths and walk therein, and you'll find rest to your soul. So let's sing this together. Can we do that? Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Sing it with me. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Peter commanded him to repent. Give me that old time religion. That's the old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. And it's good to sing it now. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. You know what? On the day of the judgment, when I stand there and Brother Peter comes around, I don't want to be standing over here and Peter standing over there. And I hear the Lord talking to Peter about them 3,000 was baptized in the name of Jesus. And I'm standing over here and I said, well, I don't know, Peter. I didn't bother with that. You know, there's a lot of problem and the people were busy and they had a lot of things to do. And going down to the river and all them kind of, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Folks, I don't want to do that. I want to say, hallelujah, Peter, give me that old time religion. The same thing that Peter had. Glory to God. And when we get time to go down to the river and be baptized, and we get time to repent and get time to pray, then, folks, we're going to be a better church. We're going to be a better people. We ain't going to be too busy. We ain't going to be too busy. This ain't going to be an intellectual indoctrination where we run up with a 15-cent popcorn sermon, you know. Somebody says, put 30 in the offering and we've got it made. Give me that old time religion. Give me that Peter and Paul religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion.
Give me that Peter and Paul religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Can you say amen? Let's give the Lord a hand, can you? Give the Lord a hand. Peter, give me that old time religion. That's good enough for me. That's all I need. I want you to lift your hands to heaven with me now. Lift your hands to heaven and close your eyes. Close your eyes now. If you love the Lord, I want you to think over these things that Brother Pike said tonight. I want you to love the Lord with all of your heart. I love you, and I'm sure that you love me, and you've been a good audience. And I can go away blessing you. I don't have to go away feeling bad at you. I can say, Lord, bless these people. Hallelujah. You didn't resent me. You didn't fight me. You didn't come against me. I'll say, God bless these people. Hallelujah. Is that all right? God bless these people. Hallelujah. Bless these people. God heal these people. Make these people well. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. While you've got your hands up and while you've got your eyes closed, we want to pray with you and let you get in touch with God tonight. If you've never called on Jesus, while our brother David Paul is coming up here, I want you to call on Jesus tonight. Come on, folks, lift your hands up with me, will you? Come on, let's talk to God together. Brother David.